while, you notice that that road, parts of the road, it starts to get kind of weathered and gets kind of a washboard effect or a ripple effect. And every time you come to that portion of the road, you slow down. But still, even as you travel slow, 10, 15 miles an hour, it just bounces and shakes you. You think your teeth are going to fall out of its sockets, that your your wheels are going to fall off your car, your knob's going to fall off the dash. So every time you slow down. But then comes that one day when your mind is somewhere else. You're running late. You've got problems at work. You're cruising down that road 45, 50 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you're on that spot. But you're going so fast, you don't even notice the bumps. And it dawns on you, hey, you know, let's just blaze on through this. You know, the slower you go, the more difficult it is. And that's kind of the way when I feel when I'm talking up here, that's the way it goes. Because I get these, I was asked to come up here and speak. I get some ideas. I get some thoughts. I try to get them all worked out together to flow smoothly from one point to another. But it never seems to work out like that. I always feel like there's a rough bump between one point to the next. So what I'm saying is, buckle up and hang on, because I'm about to hit the accelerator. There's two words I like to talk about tonight, and that's courage and fear. John Wayne is credited with saying that courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Another writer states that courage is not the absence of fear, but the mastery of it. If you're not scared of something, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of courage to face it. But if you're scared of it, yeah, it takes courage to face it. And, you know, what happens when we conquer fear? Great things can happen. You know, the Bible's full of examples, like the book of Esther. A young woman who was, you know, the Jewish population was looking at being exterminated. She faced her fears, and she went to the king with her proposition and, you know, got things turned around and got her people saved. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. They were facing death, but they faced their fears and overcome it, and great things happened. Of course, the ultimate example of courage is Christ. We all know what he faced. But he faced it, and look at the opportunity we now have. What happens if we don't face our fears? And what are we scared of? You know, some people are scared of spiders, snakes, lightning, thunder. What about the fear of asking for help? With the exception of the last time I've talked up here, every time I've been asked to talk, I've always tried to think of some area of my life that I had a problem with. But maybe I could study on it. Maybe I could overcome that problem. Or I'm sure there's other people who are going through the same issues. Maybe they could benefit from what I'm going through. But why are we afraid to ask for help? You know, one reason is we're afraid to ask for help is we don't want to show weakness. You know, we're strong. We don't want people to know that we're weak. Another is we just don't know how to ask for help. It's a stubbornness. It's built in our DNA. I like to tell a story about my grandmother on my mother's side. When I was in college, she had been a widower about 12 years. She lived out in the country by herself, had a few acres. She always raised a big vegetable garden, had a lot of fruit trees. And I would call her about once a month, see how she was doing. And I called her one time, and I said, "Grandma, how you doing?" And she just sounded down and out. Usually when I called, she was always so cheerful and up, just full of life. But this time, she just sounded bad. And I said, "Granny, what's wrong?" She said, "Jeff, have you ever done anything dumb?" You know me, yes, quite often. "But what did you do?" She proceeded to tell me how the previous day, she'd gone to a nursery and bought two pecan trees. And these were trees about 4 foot tall and had the huge ball of roots on the bottom wrapped in burlap. She said, "I got the instructions out today that was on the tag, and it said, for each one, dig a hole 4 foot wide by 4 foot deep." This woman's in her 70s, probably early 70s at this point. I said, "Art, did you try to dig those holes?" She said, "Well, I got my shovel out, I got my grubbing hoe, I got tape measure. I went out where I wanted to put the first one, and I started digging." She said, I dug and I dug and I dug, and I pulled my tape measure out every so often, and I measured. I finally got to where I was 4 feet wide and 4 feet deep. I said, okay. Then she says, then I realized I was too old and feeble to crawl out of the hole. Now, she lives by herself. This is pre-cell phone days. Well, Granny, what did you do? Well, luckily, there's a 2x4 just a few feet away. I was able to reach out with a shovel and grab it, hook it, and drag it to me. And I was able to put the 2x4 in the hole, lean it up against the wall, or the side of the hole, and I was able to crawl out. And I was going to put my college wisdom to work here. I said, well, Granny, did you learn anything from this? Thinking that she would call her son, who lived just 10 miles away, to come dig the next hole. She said, well, I sure did. Tomorrow when I dig the next hole, I'm taking a stepladder in the hole with me. But she comes from an era, and probably her family the same way, you dug that hole, get yourself out of it. You know, it never even dawned on her to ask for help. So if at times I seem stubborn, it's a pretty good chance it's genetic. But another reason we don't ask for help is that we are scared to show the mess that maybe we have in our lives. Perfect example is several years ago, I bought an old home, and I didn't plan to stay in it very long, maybe a year or two, and then, you know, do a little fixing up and move on to something that I like better, that's more suited to what I wanted to do. Well, that didn't really happen, and I started getting into that house thinking, well, there's no little fix to this house. It was an old lath and plaster house, no insulation, very little wiring. Well, my mind says, well, I can just tear out a room at a time, just strip it down to the bare walls, wire it, insulate it, sheetrock it, paint it, and just move on to the next room. That shouldn't take very long. Well, I overestimated my abilities tremendously. I could tear it down real good, and the problem was it's a small house, so I'd empty out one room and shove everything into two or three other rooms. It was hard to walk through them, and I'd strip that one wall down. I had plastic sheeting between the doors. I got the wiring done, I got the insulation done, came to the sheetrock. I cannot plaster in mud. I worked for weeks trying to get the texture right. It just would not work. And all this time I'd been having friends saying, let us come help. Let us come help. No, I'll do it. One of the reasons I didn't is I was afraid to let them see just how bad it was. Just what a mess I had created through my own hard-headedness. But finally came to the point, they said, Jeff, let us help. And I said, all right, but I want you to know this is what it looks like. This is how bad it is. They came up there, and within 2.5-3 hours, there was more accomplished than I had done probably in a month worth of work by myself. And it was done right. Well, I just moved on to the next room. About a month later, they came up, helped me another time, and then a third time. It was amazing how much work could get done. The problem is I didn't follow up with it and finish the whole house like that. I got stubborn again, got scared of letting people know that I had some problems. So all those things didn't get done. And I kind of relate that to my spiritual life too. We all have spiritual problems from time to time. And it's kind of hard sometimes to ask for help because we don't want people to know, especially me, that, you know, I've got problems. Here's my issues. I'm weak. I need help. I don't want people to see the mess of my life. Therefore, my spirituality, you know, has taken some hits or hasn't grown the way it should have because I haven't come forward and asked for help from people. And, you know, the funny thing about that house was those friends that came over to help me, never once did they say anything negative. They were, hey, we're here to help. Let us help you some more. And it's the same way with this church. Every time we meet, we had the opportunity to come and ask for help or, you know, be baptized in Christ. I've seen people come up here. I've been attending this congregation for 16 years. There's people come up forward, ask for help. Members step up, they help them, they pray for them. I've never heard anybody say anything negative about somebody who's come forward. So why am I scared? I mean, that's something I need you to ask or help me with. And that's pretty much how I want to end it tonight. But, you know, I ask for your prayers, and that if any of you at this time have any needs or concerns or want to take Christ on baptism, why don't you come while we stand and sing?
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.